Hey everyone, welcome to this deep dive, and today we'll be focusing on natural language processing.
NLP.
That's right, NLP. I know a lot of you are studying this, either for fun or maybe for class. So we're going to cover the essentials, things like regular expressions and tokenization, things you can see on exams and homework, but we'll also zoom out a bit and look at how these concepts fit into the bigger AI picture.
Yeah, definitely, because NLP is foundational, right? It's how we get computers to understand and even generate human-like text. And that's really the heart of what's going on with AI right now.
Absolutely. So let's jump right in. Now, I've heard a lot of buzz about regular expressions. They sound kind of intimidating, but I guess they're important.
Oh, they're crucial. Regular expressions are like, think of them as the tools for pattern recognition in text. It's how you teach a computer to find, you know, specific words, phrases, or even those really complex patterns.
Like if I wanted to find every single mention of natural language processing in a huge textbook, a regular expression could do that.
Exactly. But it's much more powerful than just finding exact matches. You can define these flexible patterns. Like let's say you wanted to find all the email addresses in a document. Doesn't matter what the name or the domain is, the regular expression will grab them.
Wow. Okay. That's impressive. But I have to admit, thinking about creating those patterns, it sounds, well, complicated.
It can get a bit tricky, yeah, but that's why understanding the basics, the building blocks, is so important. And it's not really that scary when you break it down. You have these simple elements, character sequences, like literally any string of characters you want to find, ranges, think A to Z to grab any uppercase letter. And then you have things like negation to say, okay, find everything except this specific character.
Oh, and wildcards, right? Those are handy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Wildcards to match any character. So you can really start to see how you build these up, almost like Legos.
Gotcha. So these basics are like our Lego bricks. And then how do we get fancier?
Well, that's where operators come in. These special symbols give you even more control. Like, let's say you need to find something that repeats a certain number of times. You'd use the clean star, which means zero or more times, or the clean plus for one or more.
Okay. Can you give me a concrete example? I'm having a hard time picturing this in action.
Sure. Imagine you're sifting through tons of product reviews, and you want to find any mention of a processor speed, like 3.2 gigahertz, but you don't want to type out every possible speed. You could use a regex to say, find any number, then a decimal point, then two more numbers, and then gigahertz.
So it would catch all the different variations of speeds while still zeroing in on reviews talking about processor speed.
Exactly. That's the beauty of it.
And these regular expressions, I'm guessing they're not just for NLP. I feel like I've seen them used in other places.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere. Think about search engines. They use them all the time. Or in your text editor. Even for things like validating data on websites.
Okay. I can see why they're so fundamental now.
They're super powerful.
But I bet they're also, like, common mistakes people make with regexes.
Definitely. One of the biggest is making your regular expression too broad. Like it ends up catching things you didn't want. And that gives you what we call false positives. Or you can go the other way and make it too narrow so you miss things, which are false negatives.
So it's about finding the right balance, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Not too hot, not too cold.
Haha, exactly. The perfect regex.
It sounds like mastering these takes practice.
It does, but it's so worth it.
Now, before we move on, I'm curious how this connects to the whole AI world, especially large language models.
Well, those models, they're all about finding patterns in text to learn to generate human-like responses. And guess what? Plays a huge role in recognizing those patterns.
Regular expressions.
You got it. They're the foundation.
Okay, so that's regular expressions. Super important. Now, another thing I've been struggling with is, like, what even counts as a word when we're talking about NLP?
That's a really good question because it's not as straightforward as it seems.
Right. Like, in everyday language, it's obvious, but I'm guessing it's way more nuanced for computers.
Yeah, so that's where the concept of tokenization comes in. It's all about breaking down language into those individual units. Like, imagine you're playing Scrabble. Each tile is a separate token.
And the number of times you use a specific tile is kind of like the frequency, right?
Exactly. Now, with computers, we need to decide how we're going to chop up the text.
Like, do punctuation marks count as their own tokens?
Yeah, that's one of the decisions you have to make. And what about contractions like didn't? Is it one or two tokens?
It seems like a lot of choices.
It is, and it can get even more complex when you think about different languages.
Oh, right, like languages that don't use spaces between words.
Exactly, like Chinese. Tokenization gets tricky there.
So tokenization is kind of like the bridge between how humans use language and how computers process it.
It's the foundation for so much of what we do in NLP.
Now, looping back to AI, How does tokenization fit into the picture with large language models?
Well, think about it. Those models are learning from massive amounts of text, right?
Yeah.
But before they can even start learning, all that text needs to be chopped up into those manageable units.
So tokenization is like, I don't know, getting all the ingredients prepped before you start cooking.
Exactly. It's essential.
Wow. Okay, so we've tackled regular expressions and tokenization. They seem so simple at first, but there's a lot to them.
There is, and they're really at the heart of so much of NLP and AI.
And this is just the tip of the iceberg.
There's so much more to explore.
But for now, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll dive into how these concepts actually get used in real-world NLP tasks. All right, so we've got our regular expressions. We know how to break down text with tokenization. Now, I'm really curious to see how all of this comes together in, like, a real NLP task.
Okay, so how about we dive into sentiment analysis?
Sentiment analysis, yeah, that sounds super interesting, like teaching a computer to understand emotions.
It's kind of like that, yeah. Basically, sentiment analysis is all about figuring out the emotional tone of a piece of text.
So is it positive, negative, or maybe just neutral?
Exactly.
I can see how that would be so useful for businesses, like being able to automatically analyze customer reviews or social media posts.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's huge for marketing, also for politics, and even for, like, social science research.
Okay, so lots of applications. But how do you actually teach a computer to understand something as, you know, subjective as emotion?
Right. Well, there are a bunch of different approaches, but a surprisingly effective one is called the Naive Bayes classifier.
Naive Bayes, is it naive because it makes some, like, simplifying assumptions about language?
Yeah, that's exactly it. One of the big assumptions is this idea of a bag of words model.
Oh, right. I remember we touched on that earlier. Can you remind me how it works?
So basically, it treats a text as just an unordered collection of words, like we're ignoring grammar and sentence structure. We just care about how often each word appears.
So it's like you took all the words from a document, threw them in a bag, and shook it all up. We lose all that context of how the words were arranged.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. And even though it seems kind of naive, it often works surprisingly well.
Why is that?
Well, because certain words are just really strong indicators of sentiment, regardless of where they are in the sentence. Like if you're looking at movie reviews, words like amazing or brilliant are probably a good sign. Right?
Yeah, that makes sense. But what about words that could be positive or negative, depending on the context? How does the Naive Bayes classifier handle that?
That's where it can get tricky, for sure. But there are ways to improve it, like by incorporating negation handling.
Negation handling.
Yeah, so it's like teaching the computer to recognize words like not or didn't, because those words can totally flip the meaning of a sentence.
Oh, right. So instead of just counting good as positive, it would learn that not good is actually negative.
Exactly. And by accounting for these negations, you can make the sentiment analysis much more accurate.
So it seems like building these NLP models involves a lot of, like, clever tricks and workarounds to try and get them to, you know, think more like a human.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it's a field that's always evolving.
That makes me wonder, how do we even know if these models are actually good at what they do? Like, how do we evaluate them?
That's a really important question. And it's not enough to just look at overall accuracy.
Why not? Isn't accuracy the gold standard?
Well, it can be misleading sometimes, especially when you have what we call imbalanced data. Like, let's say you're building a spam filter. Most emails are not spam, right?
Right.
So a model could just say not spam for every email and get pretty good accuracy, but it wouldn't actually be useful.
So we need more nuanced metrics.
Exactly. That's where precision and recall come in.
Okay. I remember reading about those, but I always get them mixed up. Can you break it down for me?
Sure. So precision is all about how many of the things your model identified as positive were actually positive. Like if your spam filter flagged 100 emails as spam and 90 of them were actually spam, that's pretty high precision.
So it's a measure of, like, how accurate your positive predictions are.
Yeah, exactly. And then recall is about making sure you're not missing any of the important stuff. So going back to the spam filter, recall is like, out of all the actual spam emails out there, how many did your filter catch?
Okay, so high precision means your filter is good at correctly identifying spam. And high recall means it's not letting any spam slip through the cracks.
That's a great way to put it. And often there's a trade-off between the two. You might have to choose between being very precise but potentially missing some spam, or catching most of the spam but also getting some false positives.
Is there any way to, like, balance those two?
There is, yeah. We use something called the F1 score, which combines precision and recall into a single number.
So it's like the ultimate report card for your model.
Yeah, you could say that. It gives you a more holistic view of how well it's performing.
And I imagine this is especially important for tasks like sentiment analysis, where things are, so subjective.
Absolutely, because sentiment can be really nuanced and context dependent. So you need to evaluate your model carefully to make sure it's actually capturing those complexities.
So it's not just about whether the model gets the sentiment right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's about how well it handles all those different variations and ambiguities in language.
Yeah, exactly. Evaluation is an ongoing process, and you need to be really thoughtful about the metrics you use.
Wow, okay, I'm starting to see how all these pieces fit together. We're starting with these basic concepts like regexes and tokenization, and then building up to more complex tasks like sentiment analysis. And all along the way, we need to be thinking about how we're evaluating these models and making sure they're actually working the way we want them to.
That's a great summary. And this is really just the beginning. There's so much more to explore in the world of NLP.
Well, on that note, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll zoom out a bit and talk about some of the broader implications of NLP, especially as it relates to AI and these large language models everyone's talking about. So we've really dug into the nuts and bolts of NLP, haven't we? From regular expressions to sentiment analysis, it's a lot to take in.
It is, but it's fascinating how all these pieces, they build up to create these really powerful AI systems.
Right. And as these systems, get even more advanced and become part of our everyday lives, it kind of makes you think about the bigger picture.
Absolutely. We can't just focus on the technical side. We have to consider the impact these technologies have on society as a whole.
Exactly. And one thing I keep hearing about is this issue of bias in AI. How does that even play into something like language processing?
Well, you have to remember, AI models, they learn from the data they're trained on. And if that data contains biases, well, the model can end up perpetuating those biases.
So, like, if a language model is mostly trained on text written by men, it might have a hard time understanding or generating text from a woman's perspective.
Yeah, that's a real concern. That's why it's so important to make sure that the training data is diverse and representative of, the whole population.
It's not just about the data itself, right? Like, the people who are building these models, their choices can also introduce bias.
Oh, absolutely. The algorithms they use, the design decisions they make, all of that can play a role.
So it's like, even if you have all the right ingredients, if the recipe is flawed, the dish won't turn out right.
Exactly. So being aware of these potential biases is crucial throughout the whole process.
So it sounds like tackling bias in AI is a pretty complex problem.
It is, and there's no easy fix. But the good news is that more and more people in the AI community are recognizing this and are actively working on it.
That's encouraging. So it sounds like things are moving in the right direction. But what can, regular people like me do to make sure AI is used responsibly?
That's a great question. I think the most important thing is to be informed and engaged. Educate yourself about the potential impacts of AI, ask questions about the systems you're using, and demand transparency from the companies that are building these technologies.
So it's about being an informed and critical consumer of AI.
Exactly. And as we move forward, we really need to have these open and honest conversations about the ethical implications of AI. We need to work together to create systems that benefit everyone.
Well said. Well, I think this has been an incredibly eye-opening deep dive into the world of NLP. We've learned so much, not just about the technical details, but also about the bigger picture, the challenges, and, the responsibility that comes with these powerful technologies.
And you've got a great foundation now. It's exciting to think about all the possibilities that NLP opens up.
Absolutely. So to everyone listening, as you continue exploring this field, remember that you're not just learning about algorithms and models, you're shaping the future of how we interact with technology.
That's a great way to put it.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've enjoyed it and that you feel inspired to keep learning about the fascinating world of natural language processing.